Alrighty, alright, ladies. We are out, ladies. We're all late. Okay. Yeah, I just didn't want to assume. We're session six. Can you believe we made it through all six? Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming today. It's so great to meet everybody, and I hope that you've been blessed.
Yes, we have.
This workshop is Equipping Women for Kingdom Leadership. Our presenter is Rachel Quigley, and this workshop is sponsored by Brittany Pisco.
Okay.
So enjoy.
All right, thank you.
Well, hello. It is great to meet you. If I haven't met you, I am Rachel Quigley, and I pastor with my husband over in Ithaca. So outside of Ithaca, so I'm about 3.5 hours away. But we drove in last night and enjoyed dinner together, Dave and I, which we don't always get. So went out, and then I got to walk around TJ Maxx quietly. Isn't that nice? Yeah, it was like, oh, look, I can look at this and not be in a rush. So it's beautiful. So I am happy and glad to be with all of you today. And today we're going to talk about how women can be equipped for kingdom leadership. And I will say that for me, I sensed God's call to ministry at a very young age. And I will actually show you. Look at there. You're like, what is that fuzzy picture? So my sister actually took this picture back in 1974, as you can see. It's a fuzzy Polaroid. And I am cut off. I'm right there. I wasn't the main focus. Do you know what was the main focus? My baby dolls. Because I would pretend that I was the pastor's wife. And I would sit on the stairs in my house, and I would line them all up next to me, and I would stand, and I'd hold the hymnal, and I would sing out songs, and I would pretend that it was my husband that was down there at the little podium preaching the word, and I'd hold it, and I'd say, "Preach it! Amen! Amen!" Right? And I would cheer him on, right? And then, no matter what, my little babies next to me would have a fuss, and they would get tired. And I would pick them up, and I would scooch them. Literally, I remember this. I would scooch across my stair, and I would walk up to my mom and dad's bedroom where the changing table was for my younger sister, and I would change my baby doll's diaper. And I would pretend that at the end of church, all the women wanted to come and talk to me because I was the pastor's wife. And that they wanted to connect with me. And they'd be like, "Oh, your baby's so pretty." And I'd say, "Oh, thank you." And all that. You know, and so from a very early age, I was like, I want that role. Because I had great pastor's wives in my life. But the thing was, as I grew in maturity, and I grew in those things, I realized they don't all want to talk to me. They don't all want to be nice to me. They don't all want to make those connections. In fact, they might think terrible things about my children, right? And so with the clarity, I had to have the courage and trust that the call of God on my life was real and trust in what he was calling me to. And every woman in this room has been entrusted with purpose. You have all been entrusted with purpose, and not borrowed purpose from somebody else, not someone else's calling, but you all have your own purpose. You all have your own ways in which God has called you, and God has structured you, and God has moved you into the place, because it is a God-shaped purpose. And so when we have that God-shaped purpose in our lives, how do we actively pursue the purpose God has placed within us? And especially as women, we are called to lead in the kingdom of God. And I believe that it happens in three ways. The first one is that we have to step into leadership with conviction. Kingdom leadership begins with being, not doing. And sometimes leadership, we can think that it's all about what I do, all the things that are lined up in my to-do list and doing all of these things. But really, leadership is personal, because how you lead is an expression of how God has created you. how God has shaped you to be. And at the center of our calling is this truth. And it's in this, in your handout right here. It's, we are not called to do in order to be leaders. We are called to be with Jesus. And from that place, then we do with Jesus. And leadership flows from who we are with Jesus, not merely what we do. And all of that flows out of who we are. I thought of it this morning, if you were all in Jamie's session, and Jamie was talking about how we need to know who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, and then that grounds us for what he has purposed for us to do. So we have to know who we are in Christ. And to do that, we have to get clear on our calling. And to get clear on our calling, we think about how the leadership is personal, and it reflects how God uniquely created you. We lead from identity, who we are in Christ, not imitation. Not imitation of what the other woman is doing, or what she looks like, or how she performs, or what she does. But it's you uniquely, how God has created you. Because the leadership is personal, it requires wrestling. No one else can answer the question for you of what God has called you to, because he has uniquely shaped you. He's created you uniquely. And there are seasons, because our assignments can look different in the seasons that we are in, right? They're going to look different. And there are seasons when God expands our responsibilities, and there are seasons when he narrows our focus. Yes. And so when he narrows our focus, or he expands our responsibilities, we need to make sure that when he narrows them or when he expands them, we follow that direction, because both is obedience.
Yes, amen.
Right? If we are in a place of expansion and then God narrows our focus, we need to be willing to let those things go so he can narrow the focus. And so it is our responsibility to as he expands it, to be obedient to what he's calling us to, because sometimes he adds in some seasons, and sometimes he limits. And don't get stuck on human timetables.
Yeah.
Some people will say, oh, well, you need to go in this direction, or you need to do that. But we need to walk in what God has called us to, in what he has. And we just had, Pastor David in the session that he just did, stay in your lane, right, of what God has called you to. And I love this verse. I have a chalkboard in my office because I homeschooled my kids, and I have this. This is my year verse right now. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. He will instruct you. He will teach you in the direction that you are to go. We have to have ears to hear what he's saying to us, eyes to see what he's doing, and be obedient, a mind and a heart to obey what he wants to do. He will guide your leadership pathway. He will guide you in that. And the second part of stepping into leadership with conviction is that we need to embrace being a misfit. When you think about it, there really has not been a biblical character that rose high in leadership that wasn't a misfit, right? I mean, look at Noah. He built an ark when it hadn't even rained. You know, you look at Moses. You look at the different people that in their lives, they were misfit for their time. And so we need to be like, you know what, as leaders of by definition, leaders do not fit in. Mm-hmm. In the sense that they go first. They take pathways that other people would turn away from, right? And they see what others can't yet. Yet, right? And if they fit in comfortably, sometimes they're probably a follower and not a leader, right? So we have to be in the place where, by definition, it's okay if everybody doesn't come along with us, right? It's okay, because leadership often means standing alone. When we have to take the hard road that God calls us to, when we have to take the responsibility, when we resist the pressure to go in a direction, when God says, I want you to go this way, and people are pushing you this way. We have to stand alone sometimes, and sometimes we disappoint people as leaders. Not that we want to, that's not what we go after, but sometimes we do, and it's more important that we're following the voice of the Lord and following what God has for us. So sometimes leadership means standing alone, and sometimes leadership means being a misfit. But our conviction in leadership means obeying what God has called us to do regardless of the cost. And that can be a tough place to be. So conviction anchors us, but conviction alone isn't enough. We must also steward what God has placed in our hands. And when we do that, we need to use our gifts boldly. And we all have gifts. We all have gifts. And the first part of using our gifts boldly is stewarding your God-given gifts. And knowing how God has wired you is foundational. Not so you know what to do, but so you know how to do it. Right? So sometimes we can take a spiritual gifts test and we can say, oh, well, this spiritual gifts test told me that I should be a teacher. Right? And so all I'm going to do is teach. Or I'm the spiritual gift told me this, right? And those are good to kind of give you some guidelines and give you some ideas about who you are as a person. There's a great spiritual gifts test, Uniquely You, also, where it kind of gives you some ideas. And so, like, for a personal example for me, my primary gifts when I've taken different things is teaching, and teaching, encouragement, and administration. Those are my three that I go, oh, okay. So that doesn't tell me what I'm going to do, but it tells me how I'm going to do it, right? So when I am teaching every Thursday, I'm teaching 10 7 to 9-year-old boys ancient history. That's not what, but I am using the teaching. I'm encouraging them, like, look, you just figured it out, right? And all of the details. When I am preaching, then I am teaching, I'm giving instruction, but then I'm also giving resources. I'm a big resource person of, this is how you do it, right? It's an encouraging part of who I am, of these are the resources, this is how you can do it, this is how you can accomplish it, right? And so our giftings, when we find out our giftings, then we can apply them in whatever direction that God sends us and the roles that he sends us to. So we have to steward our gifts, and your gifts may feel natural to you, and that's often how you know they're spiritual gifts. So like for me, you can have sometimes something that you're doing and you're like, don't you all see that? Like, so for me, I'm not terrible, but I love grammar. I know everybody doesn't, but I love to write and I love grammar. And not everybody sees the prepositional phrases in the middle of the worship song, right? And I'm like, oh, look how that prepositional phrase pulls into, you know, and not everybody sees that, right? They're not going to see that. You can have, like, I have a great lady in my church who is head of hospitality, and one of her gifts is that she's detail-oriented. She sees all the little details that other people might not see. That's an incredible gift that you can work into the way that God has wired you, right? So when we find out our spiritual gifts, then we can align them to the way that God wants to use us. And questions to discern your gifts are these. Where is God's anointing evident? Like in my life, where do I see these things showing up that to other people that's beyond them, but to me, I'm like, or to you, it's very natural for you. Where is God's anointing evident? Where do you see blessing coming? And where does minor effort produce major impact, right? So like if you're a detailed person, I'm a detail-oriented person, I can go into a closet and organize it and it's very easy for me to do, right? But for other people, it's overwhelming and crazy, right? And so think about your gifts and how God is wiring you to do it. And then where is God consistently blessing my work? Where is God consistently where I see the Lord open the door there? I'm going to walk in that direction, right? So And you have to take ownership of your gift development. So he gives us the gifts, and it says God has placed you in this time and placed you on purpose. Now, this is what I love, is that Jesus never rebuked his servants for taking a risk with their gifts. What he did was he said, don't bury them. Don't put them away, right? But he said, you did well with what I gave you, right? And so we need to do well with the way that God has wired us. And we are responsible to develop what he has entrusted to us. And what one of my favorite verses is Acts 17:25. And it's a, I put here, God has blessed you in this time and place on purpose. It's talking about how he directs the times of where, when people are supposed to live and where they're supposed to live. And sometimes in our lives, like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get frustrated with technology. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that, right? And I need someone else to do it. And I get super frustrated. So for the last 5 months, I've worked really hard because I've thought about this verse. You know what? The Lord placed me in this time for this season. And social media and the technology is actually the way that we connect with people now. Lord, help me learn it. Help me. You placed me in this time. You didn't place me in another time. And this is your system. This is what you're doing. This is what you're working. God, help me to develop the gift. Help me to develop how I can grow in that. So you discover your areas of gifting and then grow in them. Grow in those areas. But also know that with your gifting, that there are edges and shadows. Own the shadow side. Every gift has a shadow side and every gift has an edge. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done these kinds. Has anyone ever done the DISC assessment? You should. So you can get them online. You can do them. This is wonderful to teach you about yourself. And we actually have all of our head leaders go through this DISC assessment because it really helps in you figuring out yourself and your team. Okay. So like you answer all these questions. They're really simple questions. They're not super difficult. In fact, one of the questions was, are you quick to make decisions? And when I was taking the test, I turned to my husband and I said, am I quick to make decisions? And he's like, because you're asking me, you're probably not, right? I'm thinking too much about making that quick decision, right? And so they're really easy questions to take, right? But it helps you figure out, am I a people person? Do I lean more towards people or do I lean more towards tasks? Am I an introvert? Am I an extrovert? These kinds of things is what it does. And it lays you out in like different DISC. Now, this is a great resource. I encourage you to find it and to do it. So, but what it'll do is it'll lay it out and it'll give you like, if you're a decisive person. These are all kinds of leadership skills, and none of them is more important or less than the other one. But a decisive people, they're action-oriented and confident in taking risks. So a lot of actual lead pastors are Ds. A lot of them are, because they're action-oriented, they're confident, and they're taking risks, right? And so those are their positives. Those are the things that they can do well. But then their edge, their shadow is that they can be blunt and argumentative and overstep authority, right? So an I, they can be enthusiastic, persuasive, and great at encouraging team morale, but their edge is they can be inattentive to detail and prioritize popularity over results. An S is steady, which is a great gift. They're patient, reliable, and excellent team players, but their edge, their shadow, is they tend to avoid confrontation and may struggle with rapid change. And then you have conscientious people. They're analytical, they're precise, and they ensure high quality outcomes, which is a great leader, right? To be able to do those things. Their edge is they can be critical, excessive planning. They're perfectionists, and they may struggle with delegating. When you find these edges out about yourself, right, and then you can hone those and say, you know what, maybe in my shadow, I need to look at what I need to shift in my leadership, right? So, like, I'm a high C, and so I can be very analytical. I can be very precise. I can do that. But you know what my edge is? I can become very critical because you're not lining up to the level that I would like you to line up to. As a leader, those things are important to know about yourself, because then I can go, oh, you know what? I need to work on that edge. I need to work on that shadow. And so the Lord, when we are working in our gifts boldly, we need to examine those things and grow in those things. So maturity means stewarding both our strengths and our edges. So I really encourage you, find some tests out there. Like, they're pretty easy to take, but they give you some insight into your own self and your own leadership skills and help you grow in that. And so there's that. And explore opportunities and seek mentors. This is another way to grow your gifts. Explore opportunities and seek mentors. Don't wait for someone to ask you, but step into new things. Like I just said, like the technology, I was like, you know what? I need to explore this. I need to find out these things, right? And so we need to grow in those things and seek mentors broadly. Like, read widely. Like, read lots of different people and listen broadly and learn humbly. So on the back of your, this is why I say I'm like a resourcer, on the back of your handout is all, there's books, right? If you are a book person, there's podcasts. Podcasts are great, right, to throw in while we're running errands and put it in your little earbud. And there's podcasts. And then there's further learning opportunities here. These are great opportunities to grow your leadership skills. LeadSom, which they have a table out there, that this is a place where you can take leadership development courses to further your, if you want to go into, to get your credentials, that's a great way. But then also just to grow your understanding of the Bible, to grow your understanding of leadership and how to do those things. Another great further opportunity is the Art of Leadership Academy, but then that's also a podcast too. Fantastic. One where you want to explore opportunities and seek out these things, right? That you want to grow in these. So all of these are all ways that you can grow and find new ways, because all those new things going in, sometimes we can get lost in the same cycle of what we know and we don't explore other things. So it's great to be able to do those things. So there's your resources right there. And but you want to have mentors that you can go to and talk to and all those kinds of things. But leadership is never just about us. Being a leader is not just about us, because kingdom leadership always looks outward. And the third thing I want to talk to you about is to disciple others with intentionality. Our ultimate calling as leaders is not influence, it's multiplication. It's growing more leaders. And every woman here is standing where she is, or sitting where she is, because someone else invested in you, because somebody else believed in you. Somebody else has championed you, right? And when you, I was reading a study about high-level leaders, and what made the greatest impact for high-level leaders was that other leaders took a personal interest in them. Mm-hmm. And that others, they felt that they had a champion and someone who believed in them and saw that they were capable of doing something before they believed that they could do something. And we have a trend that's happening right now in our culture, is that Gen Z women are leaving the church in major ways, and higher than higher than men, that actually the Gen Z men are coming back. But the Gen Z women are leaving. And part of that we are seeing is there's a lot of things contributing to it. But one of them is the trust that we have had a lot of leaders in ministry that have not made it to the finish line, who have fallen, who there's lots of things that have happened in their lives, and there's a lot of distrust. And so we have a generation of women who are moving away from the faith, and we need to pour into them. But we as leaders, women who want to invest, we need to be able to invest in the next generation. And part of that is the great catalyst for growth is not opportunity, but it's relationship with them. And part of it is that we have to create the pathways for others. And we have to pull them in to work with them. We need to invite them along with us. When we are leaders, and if you are going to whatever you're doing, if you are going on a hospital visit, if you're going to different things, invite them along with you. If you're going to pour into them, open doors of opportunity for them, yeah. Advocate for them, yeah. And connect them with other leaders, right? Because we are not competing with another. We as women, sometimes we get really chatty at each other, and we are not competing with one another. Right? We're not. We are finishing together. That's the goal. Amen. To finish together. And one of my life verses is this: to finish well is when we can get tired in ministry. But this is the thing. Don't tap out. Don't tap out. But finish and lean in well. When you think about running a marathon or running any kind of race, you haven't ran the endurance and ran all this way to get towards the finish line, and then you're like, you know, I'm done. But sometimes in ministry we do. We've gone so long in ministry, we've done all the things, we've done this, right? And then we're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired. I'm a grandma, right? I would like to just sit with my grandbabies, yeah. Right? And we're like, I've done all the nursery work. I've done all the kid work. I've done all this, right? And we can tap out and say, I've done that. But what we need to do is we're getting closer to the finish line. You know this, when people are racing, they don't tap out. They lean in. They lean towards the finish line. And that's what we need to do, is to let these younger women in these things see us as leaders, lean in, that we are finishing to the end, that we're not giving up, that we're not giving away those things and tapping out and say, I'm done, but we lean in and we say, come along with me, right? Invite them to run alongside. You run alongside them, whatever season that they are in. And that we want to lean in to those things, because this is what it says. Oops, I went too far. Not that I've already obtained all this. We don't have it all together, ladies, right? We don't have it all. I haven't obtained all of this, and I haven't arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Because we don't want to miss that, this generation coming up behind us. But we want to press on and press on to win the prize. And how do we actively pursue the purpose of God that God's placed in within us? We step into leadership with conviction. We use our gifts boldly. And we disciple others with intentionality, bringing them alongside. And this is what I want to end with, is here, because we haven't arrived, we press on. And then here, this is how women lead well, is what is in your paper, but this is what I want you to know. I crossed this out and I said, you know what, this is how we lead well. Sometimes we can become so much like, we're the women, we've got this, we're doing this. You know what, we need those men. Yes. We need them alongside us, and we partner with them as well, right? What it is we don't want to come to the place where we say, you need to make a place at the table for me. Instead, we're like, you know what, I'm coming alongside, and we're going to do this together. This yes, is how yes. we lead well. And this is how the kingdom advances, right? And this is how we finish stronger when Hallelujah. We're together. That we're working together, we're going towards, we're pressing on towards the goal, because that's what we want to do. We want to cross that finish line and have the Lord say to us, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so in that, God is calling us to a greater thing, and we press in, and we get to it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to pray a blessing over you.
Yes, please.
Lord, I thank you, God, that you have called each of us with intentionality and with purpose. God, I pray that you would show each one of these women your purpose, what you have for them, instill in them a deep call of conviction, to follow that no matter where it takes them, no matter what you want to do in them, that God, they would follow obediently. And that, Lord, we would be faithful servants to take up the mantle and bring others along with us, because God, we are going to reach the end and we're going to bring many with us. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.